So it's not been working very well. I'm hoping we can basically do a Q&A, and I'm just going to, because Q&A's just, they want to have something starting them off. I'll start off by talking about the inevitable 2.5 development and what's going on. And none of this is at all set in stone. There's actually going to be a kind of 2.5 developer kickoff at the end of this month, and we'll have a lot of people get together and kind of try to kick a few ideas of what they want done. And even that isn't going to be final at all, because in the end what really matters is what people do. And for example, when I was planning 2.3 and what was going to happen during the 2.3 series, we got a lot of it done, but actually a lot of the interesting stuff were stuff that wasn't planned at all. There's a few obvious things that probably will happen, mostly because the market's kind of gotten to the point where there's interest from vendors, there's machines, there's actually interest from buyers too, and the big one is NUMA, where realistically, a year ago or 2 years ago, NUMA wasn't really on the map, even though people already talked about it. But that's kind of changed with a lot of people being interested in building fairly large NUMA machines. I mean, SGI is probably the most well-known for doing mainly just that, but others are certainly getting into it too. And it needs a lot of infrastructure. And actually a lot of the VM work for 2.4 was kind of building up to the point where the NUMA infrastructure hopefully won't be that painful. That doesn't mean that 2.4 can do NUMA. You can actually run a 2.4 kernel on a NUMA machine and performance really sucks. There's a lot of interesting problems, mainly about how to allocate pages and how to make sure that when you allocate pages on one node, you prefer pages that are local to that node. Or more accurately, you prefer pages that are local to whatever node they will actually be needed on. So to do a really good job, you really have to know what you're going to do in the future. And then you want to also add support for migrating pages, or maybe migrating the users after pages. You can do it both ways, and actually you probably want to do it both ways. A lot of this depends also on the amount of hardware support you have for performance counters and stuff, and nobody really agrees on any of this. Oh, NUMA, non-uniform memory access. Basically, you have a cluster. Most people still say CC NUMA for cache coherent NUMA, but the fact is nobody does anything but CC NUMA anymore. It got cheap enough to do that the advantages of doing non-cache coherent NUMA, which used to be that it was cheaper and faster, just went away. And the disadvantages of non-CC NUMA are so big that nobody does them. So basically you have a cluster of SMP machines where each SMP machine usually has whatever gigabytes of memory, but you have 4 or 8 of these, and it's slower to get from one machine to the other. You can do it, but it costs you about 2 or 3 times as much to get the memory from the other side. And this is the only way to do 64 CPUs, 100 plus CPUs efficiently, which is not to say that it's necessarily a good idea. But a lot of people actually think it's a really bad idea, and that what you should do is just do normal SMP and cluster them together with a fast network and forget about all the NUMA stuff and do most of the clustering in user mode. But the fact is a lot of people are interested in NUMA, and there are lots of workloads where NUMA actually does make sense. So it's going to happen, and it's probably going to happen in the 2.5 timeframe. Yeah. I guess they are. I don't think anybody is... The reason I'm not mentioning Sun, even though Sun does make NUMA boxes, is that Sun, for its own reasons, wouldn't be that interested in Linux on their NUMA boxes. Right? That's their niche. That's where their value add is right now. HP does the same. HP is probably more interested in Linux on their machines than Sun is. But the people who seem to be most interested in Linux on their NUMA machines is, I mean, SDI is the obvious one because they don't have anything else in practical terms. Intel, because they want to enter the NUMA market, and they want to hedge on Linux as well as NT, because nobody really believes that NT will be doing NUMA in any short order. I mean, it will probably do NUMA. Actually, I think there are NUMA HALs for NT and have been for a while that just never worked very well. You wish. You have a bet on it? How much? What are the odds? Can I get in? So anyway, and IBM seems to be slightly interested in NUMA too. There's also the Japanese vendors are actually interesting because they have the hardware and have had the hardware for a long time, and they don't have the software. So you have people like Fujitsu who historically have made really good hardware, but historically had never really been able to sell it unless they were running somebody else's software. So that's kind of one thing that's probably going to happen. And there's enough people who are already working at it that I would be really surprised if it really doesn't start. People don't start seeing things happening during this year. The main question, of course, is when you actually can get NUMA machines that are cheap enough that it has any practical relevance for normal people. And I don't know. I used to think 6-7 years ago that SMP was too expensive to be of any practical relevance to normal people. And I was wrong. Intel made it cheap enough. So maybe Intel will want to make NUMA cheap enough. That's a few years down the road, I bet. And I'm not speaking for Intel, heaven forbid. So the other thing happening in the 2.5 timeframe is threads. There's been a lot of people resurrecting the interest of getting pthreads to work well on Linux. Linux has all had threads, not always, but for a long time. But there's been this disconnect between actually getting POSIX threads and the Linux native threads to work together. And I think the pain threshold right now is big enough that it's going to happen during 2.5. Scalability, that comes up as part of NUMA, but it actually starts to hit us even on like 8 or 16 ways SMP machines where we already know some of the locking is kind of wrong. The page cache lock ends up being actually a performance impact even on regular 8 ways. Measurable. It's not huge, but it's measurable. And timer locking. And then for example, at Transmeta, we've actually been working on getting ACPI suspend to disk and RAM to really work, which Linux always took the easy approach of depending on APM doing it for the OS. And since Microsoft ditched APM because they had too many problems with it, which is not surprising considering the amount of problems Linux had with APM, APM is basically gone. Any modern machine has at best a very rudimentary APM layer. So that's one of the things we've been working at Transmeta, for example, to make sure that we can come back from the near-death experience of going to suspend to disk. So that's basically what I'm planning kind of tentatively for 2.5, and there's probably going to be a lot of other details. What I'm really happy with is how 2.4, we really solved a lot of the problems that I personally thought were going to be really nasty, which is basically I'm really happy with the file system interfaces and the VFS layer, and a lot of the memory management is really in the in a state where I think we will survive easily through to go actually NUMA without having to rewrite everything, which is really actually fairly considerable, considering that I don't think anybody so far has been able to do a NUMA OS that actually works reasonably on small UP systems too. It's never been done. And that's kind of the challenge here for Linux, to make sure that as there obviously is a lot of interest for the high end, that we are able to maintain the support for not just UP, but actually shrinking down to embedded UP without having to fork the kernel. And I used to be fairly pessimistic a few years ago, thinking that a lot of the NUMA issues were so different that you really wanted to fork the kernel just because you had completely different approaches. And it turns out that a lot of the NUMA issues and handling different nodes of memory, there were a lot of similarities between handling, for example, PCDMA, the old style, and different kinds of memory in a regular UP machine, where the low 1 megabyte looks different from the low 16 megabytes, which looks different from the one low 1 gigabyte, which looks different from the 4 gigabytes, which in turn looks different from anything over 4 gigabytes. It's actually scary how the PC memory system, because of various limitations going from 16 bits to 20 to 32, now to 64, and having to maintain backwards compatibility, turns out to have a lot of the same problems that NUMA has with having 4 different nodes with 4 different memories. So it turned out that I'm a lot more optimistic now that we'll actually be able to do NUMA and keep it sane. So, questions? Anything? Yeah?
What about,
right. I'm actually of the same opinion. On this, so far I've been right, which is actually surprising considering how often I've been wrong. I think Linux goes into the PDA, but it tends to go in by hardware becoming better. So I don't think Linux will shrink physically all that much. Historically, it's never shrunk. I mean, that's a fact of software. And I don't think anybody will start with an older kernel. I mean, people have been starting with 1.2 kernels when 2.0 was the standard kernel. I bet that people will start with 2.0 kernels now, that 2.4, but on the whole, I don't think that's going to happen. I think that hardware gets faster than Linux gets bigger. Not just even the iPad. If you look at cell phones, what you see in Europe is G3, which actually needs a fair amount of CPU. And I mean, people are talking about cell phones with 64 megs of RAM, right? Partly that's because the additional costs of going from 4 megs to 64 megs these days is, well, people expect it to be basically zero, because that's just the size of the smallest RAM die you can basically get. It's not true yet, don't get me wrong, but people expect it to be so small that by going to 64 megs and actually doing graphics and having MP3s on your phone, people don't think it's crazy. I mean, it may be, but I mean, people are seriously looking at 64 megs in a cell phone, and enough CPU power to do not just MP3 decoding, but a lot of graphics. People are thinking about doing 3D graphics. on cell phones. I mean, already when you buy a cell phone, you get these stupid games, right? And they just happen to be 2D right now. And it's all a gizmo value. So if you have a 3D color cell phone, even if it's like that big, and you can see Donkey Kong in 3D, you'd buy it, right? Well, not you, maybe, but actually, okay. So I'm saying that, yeah, PDAs are growing up, and maybe even cell phones. But that's going to be a few years, no question about that. So I'm kind of working mainly on making sure that Linux makes sense in those kinds of areas, and not that it doesn't grow to be too big, but also mainly that performance doesn't suffer from all the work happening on the big end machines, right? That's important. We can't afford to be bloated. We can afford, I think, to offer a lot of functionality. Okay, that's
the
right. Absolutely, and I think that even the NUMA machine people are cognizant of the problems of UPP. Maybe they're not cognizant of some of the problems of a cell phone, but yes. So that's. That's my long-winded answer.
What do you think about some of the experimental kernel work that's been going on and attempting to achieve some level of real-time in the kernel?
Real-time's never been a favorite of mine. I've always thought that hard real-time is too hard. It's something that you really don't want to muck with unless you have major incentives. And most people don't have major incentives. There's like one or two applications, and the rest you just buy a fast enough machine and then you do soft real time. So I'm very sympathetic to some of the low latency patches, which is not really hard real time. It's really just soft real time. With lower latency. And a lot of the latency problems people have found have actually ended up being real bugs. So in that sense, yes, real time is important. And at the same time, I just suspect that most people who complain about sound skipping when they rip a CD or something like this at the same time, it doesn't actually end up being a question of kernel real time, it ends up being a question of really crappy device drivers. And it's not an issue of there's a bad design. It's an issue of most people who write device drivers would rather do something else, right? So then there are people who think it's an issue of bad design, and I tend to disagree with that. Yeah. PCMCIA. Actually, I'm fairly happy by. I, for the longest time, actually thought that the new PCMCIA stuff in 2.4, which I wrote and I was really proud of because everything I write is perfect, right? I thought that nobody was going to use it. It looks like early indications are that Red Hat will actually, when they ship their whatever the next 2.4 kernel is going to be, if you select the 2.4 kernel, you won't get the old PCMCIA at all. So PCMCIA is actually, we were hampered a lot during the 2.3 series by the fact that most people who actually used PCMCIA had gotten so used to the old style crap. I mean, which, it really is ugly. I mean, the new stuff may have bugs, but it's about a million times better in many ways. But a lot of people were using the old stuff just because they were used to it, that we actually had a lot of trouble getting people to even test the new stuff. And it looks like with Red Hat and hopefully others cutting over completely, we won't have that problem during 2.5, And maybe 2.4 PCMCIA won't be perfect, but at least 2.6 or 3.0, whatever the next kernel is, I think we'll have a single PCMCIA that is better than we used to have. It is. It's something that right now you get with journaling file systems, and some people want the halfway thing. Some people don't want to have a full journaling file system. Some people just want to have ordered writes. One of the problems is that, what is it called? Does anybody remember what the EX2 based ordered writes file system is called? No? There's a file system that actually does, it doesn't do journaling. It does a complete tree switch. It's not a logging file system, it's... Yeah, TUX2 file system. And one of the problems with all these issues are they're patented to here in hell. So the stuff that TUX2 uses is patented by network of clients, whatever it's. Yeah, I think that one is patented by network appliance. Ordered writes are patented by SCO, and who knows what happens with Caldera and SCO. I'm not going there. And nobody wants to apparently do the soft updates. But there's a lot of different approaches to solving the same problem. Right now under Linux, you're going to have to use journaling. And then you have choices, you have several. Riser in the standard kernel, ext3 if you want that. XFS is apparently actually usable. People are actually using it. Usable but slow. So you have choices in journaling file system. You don't have what the kind of pseudo-ordered thing that BSD uses. But, I mean, from a user perspective, you shouldn't care. I mean, the only important thing is that if it's journaled or something else, when you turn it off in the middle of something, the file system comes back in the same state, right?
Or at least pulling the files you were working on. Since you brought up Riser, it seems that the biggest issues with Riser right now have to do with the NFS support, and there seem to be, from what I read, other problems for NFS anyway. So,
The Riser.
What do you have to say about NFS and Riser?
The NFS and Riser problems are not Riser problems. They're NFS problems, and they're actually really kind of Linux VFS layer problems where we extended the IGET functionality, but it wasn't extended quite enough to make NFS able to use big inode numbers. That NFS works fine with traditional Unix file systems, but falls flat on trying to export file systems that have huge inode, basically big file handles. There are patches floating around. Oh yeah, I mean there's a lot of, yeah, I think actually TAR will do the same thing. That
TAR doesn't complain about it.
Okay. That the problem is that some people just assume that inode numbers are an inode T, which is right now under Linux internally it's 64 bits. And that's just not enough for some file systems because your inode numbers have tons of information. Well, the basic problem is that RiserFS has it's a sparse inode numbers system. So I don't remember the exact encoding, but in order to make it easy to encode, they have inode version and everything is encoded in the same inode number. And I think it's 16 bytes, but I'm not sure right now. So NFS gets unhappy if it finds two files that end up having the same inode number as far as the same truncated inode number. And Riser, actually, the way the Riser FS inode numbers are done, it's actually done with a hash, if I remember correctly, so that it's unlikely, but it can happen. So that's something where fairly early in 2.5, we'll just apply the patches that look fine, and when people are really confident about the patches, we'll probably backport them to 2.4. But 2.4 is not a testing ground, except for Alan Cox, right? So we're not applying those existing patches to 2.4 right now. I don't know if they're in the AC, so you can ask. Oh. Large files in NFS should work fine in 2.4. There's been some trouble in 2.2 because a lot of the fixes that made it into 2.4 haven't made it into 2.2, partly because the VFS layer is really different in many small ways. So there's been some work on not really porting the VFS layer back to 2.2 because that would be insanity, but porting some of the same functionality so that we can have pretty much the same NFS daemon on 2.2 and 2.4. But I don't know much about 2.2 at all. I see the announcements from Alan, and I sprinkle holy penguin pee on them, and it's done, right? That's literally how it's done. And you didn't have any problems with Riser? Right. So that's the reason why Riser went in, was that we've certainly found some bugs during the 2.4 series, and I would obviously have been a lot happier if it had been bug-free, but let's be realistic here. There were a lot of new users who decided, okay, Riser is part of the standard kernel, so I'm going to start using it now. And I'm actually happy by the fact that, yes, it actually was as stable as I hoped. We found only a few bugs. And SUSE seems to have been doing a fairly good job of testing it in Germany, where they had it as one of their standard file systems last year already. I don't know what Plan 9 resources exactly are. That actually used to work, and it doesn't anymore. You could actually export procfs over NFS and read and write to procfs from another machine. And I use that for debugging, believe it or not. No, I'm not really unhappy it doesn't work. It was really a cool hack, which is actually true of a lot of the Plan 9 stuff, I think. I think it's kind of nice the way proc under Plan 9 is really a fairly distributed system. But from what I saw, which is not that much. It doesn't work very well if you have a non-homogeneous network where the machines are different.
Yeah, they don't so.
They have their own, yeah. But I mean, under Linux, we for hack value for some time actually did that over NFS. And you actually had to hack the proc file system because the NFS daemon was unhappy when when proc said that a file size was zero, and then when you read from the file, you actually got data, so we hacked proc so that it would actually give the right size just to make NFSD happy. But that got basically thrown out with the new NFSD, which is a lot more reliable, it's a lot faster, and it's the most important part about the new NFSD is that unlike the old user mode NFSD, it's repeatable. User mode NFSD had some fundamental things which made it, you could never depend on it giving the same answer twice. It mostly did, 99.9% of the time, but in the 0.1%, it wouldn't. And then people were scratching their heads. So that 0.1% meant was why you could export proc, and the new NFSD doesn't do that. So it wasn't that useful.
So are there any plans to NFS4?
I don't know. I assume that considering how long it took for NFS3 to actually be a viable alternative. It's been, 5 years? And people have really started using it in the last year. I'm not thinking about NFS4. And I bet there are people thinking about NFS4. And I bet it will be a lot easier now than it was to go from version 2 to 2 plus 3. Adding 4 should be fairly simple, assuming they don't change the picture completely. Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see. Okay, free beer. Have fun.
Thank you, Linus. Let's give him another hand, eh? All right. Because he worked his ass off to get 2.4 out the door and was unreachable for a long time. Got a wide variety of stuff. This may take some time, so. Okay, we've got a relatively, we'll actually start with these. It's a relatively strange door prize. It does not beat the condom gift baskets that were given out by condoms.net, but maybe it's a close second.
Okay, this here is Dr. Dog, which was used for a little while by Trend Micro. It was a great little toy to give out at trade shows. And we got the very last boxes of these cute little plushy guys. He has a little backpack on the back, which is just about the right size to hold a CD or two. And anyways, he's a cute little guy. And Trend Micro makes Interscan Virus Wall, which is virus scanning for your mail server. Since your Unix box is probably in front of a bunch of those other operating system people.
Okay, thanks, Heather. Cool. And thanks to Heather, and you were the one who brought it, right?
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Heather and Jim and everybody who brought it up.
David Perry is the evangelist who got us these plushies.
Cool. Thank you.
Very cool. All right, well, let's see. So we've got the
few of these.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of these things. All right, well, yeah, why don't we just throw these out?
They've got,
they've got glasses.
They've got some dangerous, yeah.
Oh, throw them anyway, all right.
All right, who's willing to accept the phone? Here you go, who wants one?
Who can knock over the camera? Some accessory went that way.
Oh.
I'll give him a t-shirt. I think that guy needs a clean shirt now. Oh, one more.
No, we got a couple more here.
Oh, we have a few up. Okay, all at once. Think we can do this at once? Go! Whoa! You can throw it somewhere else if you want somebody else to have it.
Okay.
Oh, we got one guy in the back who's really wanted one.
All right. So next is Turbo Linux is giving away some notebooks. Turbo Linux is, a couple notebooks.
Let's not throw these.
Do you want to? I'll give these.
Yeah, we'll just pass these. Here, you know what? If you want one, they're up here. Secrets. We don't know.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute.
We can actually raffle this. Ooh. Okay.
So this is from Osborne, or Osborne McGraw-Hill. Right, Linux for Windows addicts.
It's a recovery.
A 12-step program for habitual Windows users. Gee, I think I know somebody who I want to give this to.
All right. Let's see. 807-2260.
Tony!
Oh, Tony. You run a Linux shop somewhere, don't you?
So you know who to give this to, right, Tony?
Sales. Yeah.
All right, so we've got some t-shirts.
We've got a whole
crap load of t-shirts.
All right.
So why don't we just start pulling some out? And most of these are XLs.
Why do we even bother to do computer shirts in small?
For children.
Okay, so we're actually going to do this for every one of these?
Come on,
807-2224.
Yep.
All right.
That's what AMD is.
807-2259.
Oops.
Next one.
807-2258. 807-2220. Too small. Ingrates. Man, I tell ya.
Who's next?
2220?
2220.
Okay.
Might be mine. I lost my
ticket.
All
right. 2257? Hey.
Hey, do you have a small?
Maybe.
Not
likely. 2244. 2251, 2245, 2240, 2239, 2274, 7576. You're in a bad shot, dude. Okay, 3-1.
Yeah, take that other one. There, you got one there.
I'm going to stand back here. Two, two, 7-30. We still have t-shirts. Like, the Linux community needs more t-shirts.
Everybody's a winner at Bela. Who needs to shout?
I think we're taking VA's place as t-shirt kings. Really? One for every day of the week. 2263. Dum, dum. Yeah!
All right, sidearms.
All right, no more drinking for you.
2, 2, 3, 4.
Did you get one?
No.
All right.
Ooh. 2, 2, 3, 2. All right. Two, two, two. Hey, get Duncan's camera. Oh, darn. Let's see, 2, 2, 2, 9, 2, 8, and 2, 7.
More t-shirts.
Really? 2, 8, 0, 7. 2, 2, 6, 6. Now we're still going strong.
6. All right, who's next?
Right here. 2, 2, 3, 8. Ooh.
It's a good thing we got such great catches. We did.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Whoa. 2, 2, 3, 5. Two, two, three, five.
Ah.
2, 2, 6, 9. Hey. Ooh. Yeah, like you don't have one of those. Yeah. 2, 2, 6, 5. All right. Well, that's coming down.
You want to give that away too?
2, 2, 5, 4.
Oh, like you don't have enough of those too, huh?
Here, Rob, give it to somebody else. Ah! Anybody want the? Ah, the guy.
Rock, rock.
Whoa! Good shot, Rock. Okay, what is it?
It's an Alpha Plus Animates art.
What are you looking at its ass for?
Well, new material foam, polyester fiber, urethane foam.
We have a non-impale penguin here.
That's probably a collector's item. Okay, 2, 2, 5, 2 for the thing there.
For the
All right.
Plus Animates, welcome. And that had a very different profile.
All right. Okay. There's more. 2250. Ooh, nice trajectory. Oops. 807-2225.
Last one.
This is not exciting any longer.
Oh, wait a minute. Then we've got the pens and the knives.
Wow.
Let me get those t-shirts.
You trust these people with knives.
807-2255. Really?
Why would I lie?
I don't know.
Now we've got the knives.
Are those knives or are those the flashlights?
You guys trust me?
Well, they give a lot of swag. Everything but this was.
We can save this for next month if we want to.
Do you want them now or do you want them next month?
Next month. Oh. How many people want them now? How many people want them next month?
How many people don't want them at all?
How many people only want them if I open them before I throw them?
Well, you know, there's a bunch of stuff here.
All right, who wants a knife?
I'm not going to throw these pens because these are actually really nice pens. Actually, I think I'm going to keep one myself. Give me one of those knives, too. Dude. given away this much stuff since condoms.net. There goes a finger.
I'm sorry, Don, but if you want one, you can. Here, give me one. Alright. Okay, pen.
Don't, the pens are pretty hefty. I don't know if you want to talk. These are quality pens.
No, I'm sorry, you're going to have to come up. So, I'm not going to throw these too far away. Come up, I'll get you one. Oh, oh, oh. That's an idea.
No, that only works for...
You want a pen, Liz? You like your eyes.
You probably don't have a pen, huh? This might, you know.
That's it, all out.
Oh, wait, I've got one. Have one more?
That's for me.
That's for you. Right. Okay, so we've got Turbo Linux Black Books here. I think I'm actually going to keep one. And again, BILIG meetings are the third Tuesday of every month. And next month we will have announcements up on the website and the mailing list and all of those other things we promise and we never do. Actually, we do, actually, very regularly, except for this meeting. No, the website was great. Yeah, it was just obtuse. I got a lot of email. Who's the speaker? If you don't tell me the speaker is, I'm not coming. It's like, fine, stay home.
So my apologies for having the website go down for a while there. They planned the move of the actual box during time when I was away on vacation, so...
As far as we can tell, the minute it was moved, BNS said, oh, fine, it's got it off.
So everything should be back up and running. The mailing list, there was still sort of a minor glitch, but the mailing list should be back up and running either tomorrow or the next day. So, and if you don't like it, sorry.
So tell all of your friends, if you have any who aren't here, about BILIG, and get people to come, and most importantly, get them to donate valuable door prizes, because when we win, you win. See you next month.